Now, the idea that you cannot simply change yourself might come across as defeatist at first, but it's not. Quite the opposite. While there's no magic bullet, there's no sudden overriding act of will that can make you, as you are today, with no modification, able to adapt dynamically, able to shirk unhealthy foods out of nowhere, able to get your exercise on right away. No one can hand you that ability. Thing is, we're creatures of environment, of habituation. So by accepting that your circumstances would need to change, your trajectory, you can assess what can be done. By changing your course gradually, and not alone, but with assistance and accountability, incrementally adopting different routes for the sake of self, perceiving yourself as a potential covered network of habits, which is what you are, or by altering your perception so you end up on a different course, a different trajectory. Think of a river changing course over time. You may look at yourself as you are now and say, the course I am on, the form I am in, is not the correct model. There's no real correct model, but there's one you'd be happier with. The thing that they try to sell you in weight loss ads is like a train leaping from track to track at the flick of a switch. It doesn't work that way. Incremental, slow change, a number of junctions. And really, we're more like rivers changing course over time. We tend to snap back into routine. There's nothing wrong with that. It benefits us overall and throughout our lives, throughout human history, in fact. But set aside the commercially motivated lie that there is a magic bullet, that there is a simple way to fix everything that you are not 100% happy with. Set aside the socially acceptable blame game that gets hurled around if you don't draw the genetic long straw. Accept that with assistance, methodology, dedication, and maybe some accountability, body shape, and how it measures up to a weird artificial ideal, well, that's not the measure of fitness. But you can make changes. You can tell very little about how much someone exercises by just looking at them. Another lie we're taught, and that's the thing, by seeing through these things, we understand. Understand that your body shape may be perfectly acceptable, but it's the level of effort and how you subjectively feel about yourself that maybe could use a little tweaking. Make effort a habit, then make the habit something you can enjoy. Minimize the negative aspects. Multitask, do what you have to. Explore a broad base of foods. Find something else that, within the same range of effort and deliciousness, alters your habitual consumption for the better. These things are things you can do. Understand also, know this thing, as I say it to you when you're in a state of relaxation and listening. Understand also that there could be a lot of reasons why it's not as simple for you to just eat healthy, to just exercise. Everything from executive dysfunction to a busy schedule, a stressful life, the anxieties of existence. But there are things we can do. Accountability, cooperation, avoid addictive substances. There's always the temptation to add sugar and caffeine to a lot of things, and maybe in reasonable amounts you want them, you need them. But assess your intake, compare and contrast it, and take the long view. Your body as it is a river. It would take a long time to change course, and you have been conditioned and habituated to expect quick results. There's a lot of that floating around for profit. So you have to average your enjoyment out over the long course of changing your course, the way your river flows. Adopt a true habit instead of letting momentary pleasure deceive you or the promise of quick results take you from where you want to be. I invited you to perceive the silvery trail that begins inside your body, carries you through your days, a routine, a trajectory, a course for the river of you. There's a kind of commonality there, as if you were plotting points on a graph for what you do and when you do it. And if you could look at that graph, that thread, that cord, and pull a few parts of it into different positions, you might be concerned they would snap back. But think of my voice there to buttress and hold, to brace the river in its new course, to remind and assist you. My references to connections in your world come in to help you alter the box of you, the course of you. Guided meditation and relaxation can help take you places your ordinary meditations might not. And once you are there, because you have been there once, finding your way to that place of resolve, that place of improvement, that place where you outline changes for yourself and then carry them out, it gets easier because you've been there. All those connected to you, which includes me, want you to succeed. I want you to succeed in a long-term, sustainable way, even in little ways. Whether people whose stores you shop at, significant people in your life, partners, people you might just see who might take your positive example of eating and exercising the way you want to for your improvement and improve themselves based on it, all of these people are positively affected by the ripples of you, the course of you. Everyone would be glad to see a happier version of you. And sure, that begins with you choosing what that looks like. But you have that plot graph, that silver cord showing the trend and tendency of what you eat in a day, when you exercise, what places you visit. And you can envision dragging that into new positions. Now, speaking of dispelling myths and installing happier versions of the self, you do have to learn to love your body. Because most of what our body looks like and even feels like is genetically determined. It's all tied together. The amount of effort involved may be great for not much payoff. So don't measure success by immediate changes in your body. Measure by changes in how you feel. Sure, the things I suggested may have salutary effects on your body. Exercising, altering your food for a more nutrient-rich base, or avoiding things which lead to crashes. These can be positive. There's a lot of diminishing return on exercise beyond getting about an hour or two a day, so never really aim above that if you don't really feel like it. It isn't that people who bodybuild are dedicated. They get more out of it than you do. Their motivations internally are different, and they may be doing other things to bulk up. You're here seeking a new way to be. Accept that this is a slow alteration of trajectory, which must include long-term habits. As you get there, it becomes much more important for you to feel good than to worry about physically visible results. There's a phenomenon where the mind doesn't notice physical changes to your own body unless someone remarks on them or you have pictures side by side. So you might not notice it anyway, even if you did make a bunch of progress. So instead, it's about how you feel and how you feel about yourself. Points of commonality, that graph laid out. Imagine all the places you go and all the things you desire, your habits and needs, a silvery web, topographic, from above, laid out, connected. Perhaps people close to you are also connected, linked in and laid out on a plot line. So you can see how the lines move in elegant curves from place to place, the courses of everyone's river. What you normally do, what you normally consume, exercise, plan. If we alter the lines relating to food, to move away from some and toward others, that's a minor shift. We just repeg the course of the river slowly. Grocery stores contain some healthy stuff too. You can order some healthy stuff too. Most restaurants have a few things on the menu. You could always order less or save some for later. These things should only be done in ways you consider healthy and good for you. But if you've needed that little push to do something you kind of already wanted to do, let my voice assist. The issue is the internal change, making a habit long term. The value you place on these things. Consider, do you use food as comfort to avoid dealing with, confronting, addressing other things? So we zoom out and look at the long view of your life. Every time you make an unhealthy choice to shrug off your exercise or choose a food where you're like, well, this is going to make me sugar crash later, that kind of thing, you know that there is a positive way and perhaps a different way to do this. Every time you choose an unhealthy choice, sugar, fats, unhealthy foods, you're drawing on immediate memories. You receive immediate positive feedback. You know you like something. You know you have a habit. And if someone stopped you and said, well, you really shouldn't eat that. You shouldn't put that in your body. You might agree and do it anyway. Or you might get defensive. But this is about a cooperative project where you look at the long view. If you could zoom forward to the you who abstained from the things you kind of wish you could abstain from. If you viewed how you could be with assistance and with habit-forming positivity, your agreement might become stronger. The way to bolster your will is to look at the positive future consequences and to have the forceful reminder, maybe of my voice, maybe of this session, fresh in your memory. Plenty of healthy things are delicious. But once you've fallen into a marketing trap, remember I mentioned that before with weight and weight loss, we believe that good-tasting food must be sweet or unhealthy. This has been marketed to us. It's why people can excuse stops at fast food restaurants or constant pizza breaks, even though they say, well, I don't want to, but what other choice is there? But since you're here attempting to develop improved habits, maybe you can break out of that marketing trap. And your main dietary consumption can shift slowly. And there is always a work concern. You may be busy. You may have other things going on. But you can avoid the habit of thinking of something as your normal fare instead of something to move away from. You don't have the habit yet. But when you form the habit to look for improvements, you'll find them. Once you've gone a long time altering your course slowly, you'll know. Once you've gone a long time avoiding things you kind of want to avoid and trying new things that you kind of wanted to try, having that little extra shove, you will have gently moved the silvery cord of your connected habits so that on the plot graph of your life, it steers a little more healthy into a new configuration to avoid falling into the marketing trap of negative habituation, and you alter your course instead. There's a powerful belief peddled to all of us that sweet things are just better, fatty things just taste better, but you can maneuver your way to a healthier, more nutrient-balanced diet for you. You can maneuver your way to a better body and more exercise for you by breaking the physiological addiction as well as the psychological. Sometimes we subsume negative experiences. Think about when you might have done it. By having comforting foods, which are often bad for us because the element of the forbidden or the unhealthy adds a sinful pleasure to what we do. Sure. Fortunately, if you're feeling down and you need a solution that doesn't involve eating something sweet, well, there's an obvious one right there, isn't there? Eat something healthy, then use the energy to try exercising, combining your two improved habits, the pleasure in doing something, and especially physical activity, getting into the habit that affirms your long-term investment in your own enjoyment, confidence, and the alteration of the course of your trajectory. Let my voice be there in your mind, encouraging, egging you on. Let other voices affirm you as well, those of everyone connected closely to you, the gentle hand on the small of your back pushing you forward and encouraging you. Let the long view be there as well. If you average the pleasure you get from unhealthy diet out over the entire network of your negative repercussions from the habit, I bet the pleasure of avoiding unhealthy food, more energy, feeling better about your choices, better nutrient balance, these things will be greater. For example, you only really notice your failure to exercise when you think, oh, I should be exercising. Well, that's a tiny negative hit. But if you were exercising all of the time, you'd be saying, oh, hey, I'm exercising a lot lately, which will be a positive spike when it happens that goes on and on. So we have this silvery map of your lifestyle and habits. Let's discuss modifications over time, how they're usually done, versus how we're going to do it, how you'll modify your habits with the assistance of the aforementioned elaborated new perspective. Modifications to the way the map of your habits moves through your life. They're sudden. They shove it out of order. They move it outside your normal routine. Crash diets, for example. They have to fight a lot of routine. Suddenly going off all the unhealthy food in a big way fights what you've been doing for a long time. So you snap back. Imagine a straight silvery line through your day being shoved off course, forming a bend in the river suddenly. It can no longer reach where it needs to go because the ends have been shortened by the sudden shove. It wasn't given time to stretch, to reorient, to adapt. The shove has introduced a curve which was not there before, and the cord of your habits will rubber band back into position, because it must. Likewise, exercising super hard throws off a routine which was psychologically valuable and stable. It was working for you. But if you continue to eat the same kind of stuff with slight modifications, till eventually you're on a track you like, if you begin introducing exercise in tiny amounts until eventually it's a reasonable routine you're happy with, then those small changes average out over a longer period, giving the path of your habits room to stretch instead of being shoved off course and rubber banding back. Likewise, if you find ways to get exercise while doing the same kind of things you did before, the map of your life need not go off track at all, integrating improved behavior, If there's a place you eat, find a different thing to eat there. If there's a place you walk, take the stairs instead. Think of it like an amortized cost. Maybe you have to pay 1,000 units of displeasure at the idea of ceasing your unhealthy diet. Pay it all at once and your brain's gonna say, "No way, I'm having some cake and a soda." Try to get a ton of hard exercise, and all you'll do is overwhelm the natural endorphin effect with pain, and the unhappy memory of how sore you were would remain if you did that. Instead, slowly introducing an advisable amount of exercise, avoiding portions of sweets or unhealthy foods, slowly adapting, spreading, stretching. Spread that unit of displeasure out over 100 days instead, so it's livable. Plus, going cold turkey on unhealthy food and then into a crash session of exercise really, really creates problems. If you're slow normally, you can take a day off and be fine with it. But when you're starting off, you need to begin your life changes strictly, incrementally, small, but strict. The more drastic they are, the more you think you have to cling to them, which leads to a defeat or a sense of not being able to. Cling to them to the bitter end and you'll give them up and have a negative association with them. If you recognize you can sometimes simply set aside your exercise for a reasonable cause, then you can have indulgent food for a decent reason. Your overall habits will still be one of healthy eating, healthy exercise, something like that, an improvement. You'll spring back into your unhealthy habits, never, and spring back into your healthy habits easily, because the new course is the healthy course. So just like how hard it would be to shove yourself suddenly into a healthy diet, suddenly into a ton of exercise, so once you change your habits, it would be hard to shove you back to the bad ones, because you're in the new ones now and they are your new normal, your new course of events. Springing back into your good habits because you established them gradually. So let your approach be gentle. Ignore the marketing lies we're taught that you have to go hard or go home. Instead, simply go at your own pace. Develop yourself like something worthy of respect and therefore of long development, gradual change. You'll be happier with more exercise, sure. You'll be happy to have something encouraging you along. I'm here to help. Voice in your mind encouraging and reminding. Perhaps not just mine, and that's just fine. Any other voice you connect to, too. An act of service to the self and to others, which benefits you. A habit you need to form slowly, but surely. Let yourself make different choices. Permit yourself to see through certain deceptions, the marketing lies we're all told. Set aside sweets and fats and things you want to set aside. Remember you've had the wool pulled over your eyes that there's only one way, a super hard way, to get out of the situation. Your body's fine how it is. It'll be better as you go, because you're improving it in ways you want to. Grin and enjoy yourself, knowing that you are seeing clearly on some things that were clouded, and that your changes must be slow and environmental in order to be sustainable. The changes of habit, rather than the sudden alterations of crash diet or workout regimes. Your mind would rebel without you even knowing it, unless you go slow. Embrace the slow shift. Find ways to keep track of it. Ways to encourage yourself, and I volunteer my voice. Ways to alter your life and shape it on a different trajectory to be better and better, so you can be happy with the result. Let yourself listen to these words when you need encouragement, when you need a reminder. Remember, the displeasure of change can be averaged over a long time and canceled out by the pleasure of successful change. What was not routine before will become so with time and encouragement. You have habit inertia. The same type of habit inertia that made your bad habits the norm will help you lock in your new behaviors if you go slow. Now that you've learned to oppose the old behaviors you wanted to oppose but kind of got pulled off course from, this gentle self-nourishing method can help you lock in the new ones. Let deceptions about your body change slowly. Things about sudden change, magic cures, diets, quick workouts, they all fade from your mind. Do what works for you. Shuck the expectation you'll conform to the marketing deception in question, and let there only be a calm, centered, illuminated version of yourself. remembering this voice, these words, if you need to. This line of discussion is a balm and lifeline among the silvery storm of activity, which is every day. Connect to your own needs and realize the slow, incremental way to adopt change grows in you. Let my voice help out. See your day. See the changes in front of you as lines of intention along which you may slowly move. And you can see lines that are 1 or 2 degrees shifted from them, so you can make those tiny changes. Think about the comfort and safety of your body and your mind, the way you will alter your diet and the bits of exercise you can begin to get. The stealthy benefits of all this will be wonderful when you're locked into a new way of being. And when you realize there's no ideal time to start, although slowly, except right now.